high-tech audio system hooked up in. It's no longer pink.
Thank you for the hate. I just, not sure how to take that. He just told us that we're friends with, well, some of you, and I'm not sure how to, not sure how to take that. That's okay, Brother Hayne, you did well. I do want to say this, tomorrow night, Lord willing, I brought Brother Zach and Sister Amber along, invited them to come along, but John, of course, approved that I would invite people here and just happy to show up. I asked them if it would be okay if they came. They don't get a lot of culture where they're at. Well, they don't. The only culture they have is probably in the refrigerator. But anyway. And so I wanted to try to get a little bit more culture. Just try to, you know, get them a little spice in their life.
Yeah. Brother, move your microphone as close up to the knot on your tie.
I'll do that.
There you go.
And so we brought them up to try to be a encouragement to them and an influence on them. And of course, their daughter Gracie. And so we're glad they're here. Brother Zach will probably preach tomorrow night. That's not a warning, that's just letting you all know. Those of you that have never heard Brother Zach, he's on the internet. You've got to look him up. It's at sweetsermons.com. And Brother Zach has a, he has a website out there. You can go. He's got one message, but anyway, no, I'm done with Zach anyway. He always tells me I got one message, I just put different titles on it. I'm like, well, that's what all of us do, I thought. And I came and met your pastor. And anyway, so turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. I preached everything I know here, and so it's hard to come in sometimes and bring something that the Lord's laid on our heart to do. And so, again, we try to get some understanding, glean some understanding. I know we've probably dealt with this topic. It's one of my favorites in the sense it's been a help to me over the years. And this is, of course, Saul's rebellion and Saul's disobedience to the Lord. And sadly, and this isn't any boasting by any means, but I see my own life in that so many times. The hurt and the heartache of my life, and that's since I got saved, that I see it, and just the incomplete obedience. And you know, you would teach your children that your partial obedience is disobedience. Yet a lot of us live in partial obedience and then claim that we're obedient, claim we love the Lord. You know, partial lie is a whole lie. And if we say that, you know, we're obeying God, but yet in one area of our life, we're willfully not doing it, we're not obedient children. And God doesn't see us as such. And so it is with this example that Saul gives us here. Just for the sake of time, I'll just touch briefly. And the Lord, through Samuel, came to Saul and told him that he wanted him to absolutely destroy the Amalekite. And he was destroying everything that they had. And they were an enemy of Israel, enemy of God. And so he gave Saul clear instructions. And Saul went down and he destroyed the Amalekites, but he kept the king alive. And then, of course, the people decided they wanted a portion, and they followed the example of the king. They took the spoils, they took the sheep, the oxen, some different things. And so, verse number 10, I'll start reading. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me. What an awful statement. What if he said of us, it repenteth me that I put you in the pastorate. Repenteth me that I made Tim McVeigh an evangelist. Repenteth me because of your disobedience that I did for you what I did, because now you've taken the goodness that I gave you and you've turned against me. What a tragedy. What an awful thing. If not perform my commandments, verse 11, and it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? With R.G. Rose, when I first met him probably 10 years ago, he preached on something doesn't sound right in Israel. I've obeyed you, Lord, but yet, what is this bleating of the sheep I hear? They were supposed to be slain. What is this lowing of the oxen that I hear? They were supposed to be slain at my commandment. Saul, I made you king because I anointed you king that you would obey my command, but now it's repented me because you've kept alive a part of the spoil and you've disobeyed, yet you're telling me I have obeyed the commandment of the Lord. And Saul said, they, and of course the blame of others, have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Just like a man, and some of you meant to say amen and help me out, when things really get tight and you know, things really start to look bleak, you say, you know, this woman that thou hast given, amen, the people that you put under me, God forbid, my children, Lord, well, you raised them. You are the head of your home. You're the responsible one. Okay, Saul, you're responsible for these people. Oh, the people, they took it the best. The people came and kept the sheep alive. But Saul, you're responsible. Samuel says unto him, verse number 16, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should be utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Sounds good. With his lips, he's justified himself. With his words, he's explained away his disobedience. He said, oh, I've obeyed the Lord. Oh, I've done everything that the Lord's required of me. I was perfect in obedience. The people took the spoil, but Lord, you can't hold me accountable for, that's what he's saying in context. You can't hold me accountable for what these people did, for I have obeyed you. But he said, I spared the king, Agag. He hasn't obeyed the Lord, yet still in his own mind, in his own thinking, in his own very words, he said, I've obeyed the Lord in everything that I've done, yet he's walking in perfect disobedience. And he's justified himself every step of the way. Now, when you walk in disobedience and live in disobedience, it gets easier every day to justify yourself. Why? Because you've justified it this long, so what's another day to justify it? I know I shouldn't do this, however, and just fill in the blanks. Well, I know I shouldn't live this way, but. I know I shouldn't commit this, but. I know that you know, the Lord really is not pleased with me, but. I remember as a young boy being in the 7-Eleven. And a man from the church, it was in there with my dad and I. And I remember getting back in the car, and my dad and him got coffee, and they were mixing their coffees in the front seat. And this was back in the days when, you know, nothing was free. I mean, if you got coffee, you paid for sugar, you paid for cream. And this man pulled a creamer out, and he dumped it in this cup. And I remember him telling my dad, he said, hey, Ken, I'm just going to let you know, I stole that creamer. I'm not paying whatever it was, 10 cents, 8 cents, something like that. You know, I stole that creamer. And he said, I remember him saying to my dad, he said, and if God's displeased with that, then I'm sorry. You know, and even as a young boy, I in the back seat, I would say I trembled, but it just threw a shock into me. And as a 7 or 8 year old boy, I remember thinking, he's going to hell, because I was taught that people that steal go to hell. Still taught that. The thieves have no part in inheritance of God. And he said, I don't care, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter what the people think. It doesn't matter what you think, Samuel. I've obeyed the Lord. I'm the king. I've done what I'm supposed to do. Therefore, I'm justified. Samuel said this in verse 22. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? You know what the world's thinking is? And you hear it all the time in jest and oftentimes serious. It's better to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. Samuel refutes that with the exact opposite. He said it's better if you just obey than go back and have to give sacrifice.
Amen.
God's not pleased with sacrifice. God's pleased with obedience. A man one time made the statement. He said, I don't really like fighting with my wife that much, but I sure do like making up. And I remember even as just a young Christian, I thought to myself, well, if I ever find a wife, I don't want to fight with her. Amen. Making up can't be that good. I mean, I know my wife, well, no, I'll leave that alone. I didn't get in a fight with her. People have accused me. But, I mean, you know, let's go back and get forgiveness rather than permission, because that's the way the world thinks. The Lord doesn't take delight in that. You know what the Lord wants? He wants obedience. And so Samuel continues to deal with Saul here, and he said this: behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, is a cause and effect. Listen, you're not going to pin this on God. You're not going to say, well, the Lord wasn't fair, the Lord wasn't just, this was not right. He said, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, because you, Saul, you, the man that's justifying himself, have rejected the word of the Lord. He said, he has rejected thee from being king. It was your fault. The sinner sits and says, he's an unjust God, it's not fair. But the sinner is the one that sinned against God. Oh, it's not fair that God would give me such a lot in life. Most of the lots you have in life are self-induced. It's not fair that my life would be in turmoil, the troubles we've seen, and all the awfulness. And you realize most of it is self-induced. Because the choices we made, even as young people, as youth, we've made choices that now today are affecting us. Years later, and how dare we point to God and say, you did this to me. Because thou hast rejected me. Saul, because you disobeyed, Saul. Because you didn't heed when I spoke to you. Many in that day will say, Lord, Lord. They were not prophesying that name. Lord, look at what all we've done. Lord, I gave tithes and alms and worked works and prophesied in your name. And Lord, look at what I've done for you. But what does it boil down to? Obedience. He said, nay, except you repent, you all likewise perish. But I was one of the top men of the church because you rejected me. I've rejected you. I did many wonderful works in the house of God. I mean, everybody came to me for advice. Everybody looked at my name. Everybody knew I was one of the top people. I mean, I had standing in the church. Because you rejected me, I rejected you. Because you would not heed and would not obey, there's coming a day when we will not obey, but God will reject us. Saul could, if he wasn't rebellious and stubborn, and we may get to that tonight, we may not. But if because of his stubbornness, if Saul could just get to his stubbornness and look and realize, I did disobey God. He told me to utterly destroy them. And here's Agag standing in front of me. Here's the king. And I told the Lord that I slew them all, but I didn't slay them all. And even in when he's caught and he's found out, and Samuel tells him that the Lord said, no, I've rejected you, Saul still justifies himself. Why? Because he's deceived himself. And I believe if you look in the context here, I believe that he has convinced himself that he's done exactly what the Lord told him to do. I've done everything that's required of me, Lord. The Lord said, no, you've been disobedient. What is this I hear? We slew everything. We conquered them, slew them, even slew the flocks. Samuel says, what is this bleeding of the sheep? I hear the cattle on the hills, and they're calling and lowing one to another. How can it be they're destroyed if they have a voice? Saul, can you not hear the cattle? Can you not hear the sheep? Oh, yes, Lord, but it wasn't me. It was them. Lord, I hear that, but it wasn't my responsibility. I told the people to destroy them. I mean, are you king or not, Saul? Are these people under your kingdom or are they not? Do you judge righteously or are you an unjust king? The questions you can ask Saul in retrospect, in hindsight, and the questions we can conjure up to ask Saul. Saul, why did you think you did what God told you to do? It's too late. He said, I've already rejected you for being king. It's too late. I've done everything that God required of me. But it's too late. Saul, you've lied. You've begun to heap lies. You've justified yourself. God has rejected you. Now, I've rejected thee from being king over Israel. And look what Saul says in verse 24. He pulls a Jimmy Swagger. Forgive me for tearing down your hero. I have sinned. I said many years ago, he did more than most Baptists do. At least he admitted he sinned.
Yes, sir.
I have sinned. Oh, me. I have been confronted with my sin. I've been found out by my sin. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. I'm listening to man, not God.
Yes, sir.
Preacher, you know, as we've got to know each other over the years, we've talked about just so many scenarios of people that have wrestled and wrestled with this matter of salvation. And in comes Johnny Come Lately, super soul winner, spirit-filled, and pats him on the head. It says, you know you're a good person. You're such a good man. I've told you all here, I believe, probably several times, as much as I talk here. And a lady came to me when I was working at Staples part-time years ago when I was in the military. Coach Air Force. And she comes up to me, she was a hippie. There's no other way to put it. She had the hippie garb, the hippie look, and she kind of flowed when she walked. And she comes up, and I'm talking to her about this copy machine, and she just stops. She goes, I perceive that you're a spiritual man. And I'm, oh boy, yes, ma'am, I am. That's exactly what you sure pegged me, lady. I'm one of the more spiritual people in here. In fact, Friday, when we were over at the bar, I was telling all them about God. How spiritual was I? And you'd say, how foolish is that? But you'd be amazed how many people pat themselves on the back and pat each other on the back and say, oh, but you're such a spiritual giant. Oh, but you've done many fun, wonderful works. And they go to people for approval. They go to man for approval.
Yes, sir.
I heard a lady told Brother Sammy one time. She was crying. She said, I just wish somebody could tell me whether I was saved or whether I was lost. Well, that wouldn't matter. It wouldn't change your standing. I can tell you anything you want to hear, but it's not going to change your standing with God. Mm-hmm. Saul said, I hearken to the voice of the people. I got to come clean with you now, Samuel. I was listening to the people. I wasn't being a king. I wasn't being obedient. But the Bible said he took Agag alive.
Account for Agag. Saul, you've obeyed, you've blamed the people. Where did you find Agag at?
And again, I'm not trying to be unjust. I'm not trying to be unfair to Saul. I'm meaning absolutely no disrespect to the preacher. I'm not trying to mock. I'm not trying to make light of what Saul had done. But he must give an account. What is this lowing of the oxen? What do I hear, Saul? Why is there a great people before me that's alive? Why is there a king standing here who should be dead? Must somebody give an account for that? He says this in verse 25. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. The Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to thee to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And then he said, I have sinned. Yet honor me now. Regardless of my disobedience, regardless of the fact that the Lord has rejected me from being king over Israel, Samuel, it would mean so much if you just honor me, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord in front of man, in front of the elders.
Yeah.
I have turned to God wholeheartedly. Look, see my repentance? See my sorrow? Look, I've done it. I've accomplished it. I have found forgiveness, and now I stand before the people again as their king. But the Lord had rejected him. And Saul held onto that throne and clung to that throne. But God slew him. Even though he was rejected, he would not step down from the throne. It all goes back to the Lord speaking to Saul through the voice of man, through the voice of Samuel. And the Lord spake to Saul when Samuel came to him and just gave him a simple instruction. I want you to look at this. In verse number 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, and camel and ass. It's that simple. It wasn't that the Lord's word was muddled. And let me just throw this in there. It wasn't that the word of God was confusing. Saul did not say this. I'm not putting these words in his mouth. But I hear people say this. I'm so confused. I don't know what the Lord's trying to tell me. Well, he's not trying to tell you anything. He's already told you. The confusion comes from those voices. There are many voices in the world which are heard. But that trumpet gives that uncertain sound. We should be calling the battle. The problem is sorting out which is the voice of God and excluding the voice of self-justification. And I'll say this, excluding the voice of reason. Because you can reason yourself right out of situations of a disobedience. Lord, I know I shouldn't have done it, but the Lord said, thou shalt not. Just use an illustration. You know, I had to feed my family. My family was hungry, so I stole. So I feed my family, and now I'm justifying myself, and my excuse is my family was hungry. And by the way, the Bible tells us that you and I can understand that. It doesn't make it right, but we can grasp that. We can see where, man, it doesn't justify his stealing, but you and I can look at that and say, you know, I understand why he did it, but he's still not right. We don't steal and then try to justify why we steal. But the world says, oh, we understand Robin Hood. Robin Hood, I mean, a great man. He stole from the rich and gave to the poor. And I don't, you can say what you want to say. I don't care if you're a President Obama fan, a President-elect Trump fan, or a former ex-president's wife, Hillary fan. It doesn't matter. They all rob from the rich to give to the poor. But they do it under the law, so it's legal. It's not stealing. I hear people all the time, they're robbing hoods, they're robbing the rich, they're giving to the poor. They make the laws that they can tax us and give. That's under the law. But you and I are under the protection of those laws. People go all the time. The reason I say that is I read an article where said a man was arrested for robbing a bank. His justification in court was, well, the government does it. They rob and they give them more. How foolish. How silly. They made the laws as such that they tax us and it's equal taxation, and they spread those taxes across the state and provide roads and provide services, and people scream, I gotta pay taxes, oh, I gotta pay taxes. Well, drive your buggy on a dirt road. I don't mind. People wanted to justify themselves, want to excuse and reason away why they do what they do. So Samuel did this. In verse number 32, it says, Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. What Saul would not accomplish, Samuel accomplished. What Saul would not do in his disobedience, Samuel did in obedience unto the Lord and was pleasing unto the Lord. What if Saul had obeyed? What if Saul had obeyed? His family would have been spared. His children would have been spared. His life would have been spared. Things would have been so much different. The Lord said, I rent the king of thee and give it to one better than thee. I don't know about you, man. That's a pretty hard pill to swallow. Somebody better than me? Oh, certainly there's nobody better than me out there. If you don't obey the Lord, there certainly is. Saul's incomplete obedience. He went down to the grave justifying himself. All he had to do was obey the voice of the Lord. That's all he had to do. With the Lord's help, I'm done. Never been done this early before, so I'm going to ramble for 20 more minutes and tell stories about my childhood. No. Friday night, the Lord's help, I want to deal with rebellion, stubbornness. The Lord will help us with that. I believe when Zach will probably preach tomorrow night. That's okay with you, Pastor.
That's fine, brother.
Brother, I'm finished. Brother Hayner, thank you.